Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Glad to see we all unburied ourselves out of the snow.
Amen. Thank you for your help on that.
Yes, my pleasure. Our cars were, Jesse's car was very deep buried in. All right, you go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to start with prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we do thank you, Father, for getting everyone out safely. In Jesus' name, God, these wildfires that are happening in California right now that have taken so much from people, we just ask for your grace and mercy. Lord God, all of those who are still buried in snow, who are having a hard time getting out of their houses and their sidewalks and getting to work or to doctor's appointments, we just ask you would send the help that's needed. In Jesus' name, show us, Lord, where we can be a help to people. And God, we ask you would open up our heart today. Holy Spirit, speak through me exactly what you want each and every person to hear. Jesus, you know what is on our hearts. If there's anything, God, that needs to come out of our hearts so that we can experience the freedom of Christ, Lord, take that out of us today. We love you. We appreciate your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so today I'm going to talk about renewal brings transformation. So Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to start at verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we know that our spirits are made new because we are born again, right? And our spirits actually transform who we are as people. So when you accept Jesus into your life, there is a transformation. But it's not something that is like a one-time thing. And then you just go on with your life and you live your life how you were doing before. You are different. And your whole life becomes different. Every day you become more and more like Jesus. So where we once walked in darkness, we now walk in light. And that takes effort. You know, it's not as easy as some Christians are like, oh, I got saved. I'll never be the same again. And yeah, that sounds good. But it's an effort. You know, every day we have choices that we are faced with that are we going to go back into our old life or are we going to walk in this transformation? You know, it's like if I gave Annie a new car, you know, and I'm like, hey, Annie, this is your nice new car. And she's like, oh, I'm going to drive that every day. And she leaves it in the garage and never drives it. What good is that to her if she doesn't use it? Right? What good is the life that God gave us if we never use it? Yes, we have eternal life, but if we don't focus on what Jesus has done for us and we don't believe what he's done, then actually what we'll do is we'll drift away from that original faith that we have, and we may even forget or stop believing that Jesus is our Savior. And that is a dangerous place to be, right? Sins and weaknesses that we have overcome can come crawling back. Sometimes our flesh wants to take us over and draw us back into past behaviors. That is something that we need the help of the Lord with, right? Yes. So at those points, it is important that we make a course correction. And have you ever been like down the path of you have a bad thought and then, or something bad happens and you think something bad about somebody and you keep thinking that? And you keep thinking that, and you keep thinking that. And next thing you know, it's been several years, and you're still thinking those bad thoughts about a situation or a person. And it's at that point, you know, like when you do a course correction, you either have to slow down or you have to come to a full stop in order to make a change in direction. And so this is kind of what I want to talk today about is, you know, to be renewed, to have transformation, we have to stop, and sometimes all we have to do is just slow down and turn our thoughts into what the Lord wants us to think about. We need to let the Holy Spirit show us, you know, what is it that I'm thinking wrongfully right now? And He'll point it out. Sometimes you'll feel a check in your spirit, or you'll feel like something is just not right, and it's the Holy Spirit inside of you telling you, hey, this thinking isn't right, or you shouldn't feel that way about this person, or you need help with this, or this is something you need to work on. And that's like the Holy Spirit is your GPS. Like, okay, you made a wrong turn. And I love how GPS is like, we're going to recalculate. Recalculating. I was listening to some preacher the other day, and they were talking about how I wish that every person in my life was like GPS, because GPS is never rude. They're always like, oh, you missed your turn. Okay, well, then we will recalculate. And it's just funny, you know, but we have people in our lives who are like, oh, you need to change right now. And it's like, you know, you can't force a person to change right now, even though you really want them to, right? It doesn't work that way. All right, so I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the first two verses out of King James, because that's what we're familiar with, those first two. And I'm going to read them again in the Amplified to bring this out. So 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so I just want to read a little comment here. Verse 1, presenting your bodies to the Lord, every mark of change comes from intentional choices. You are not changed by others. You can be influenced and taught by other people, but a true change of heart can only come from the Holy Spirit. And then on verse 2, a superficial value is a characteristic that looks good on the outside, but is not a true change of heart. So let's read this out of Amplified. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you. Verse 3, for by the grace of God given to me, I say to every one of you not to think more highly of himself and of his importance and ability than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has apportioned to each a degree of faith and a purpose designed for service. So basically what Paul is saying is, don't think that this is all about you, that you are the one who can change yourself. That, you know, it's easy to let pride into thinking, you know, I can change myself. You know, I am this way. I can do this. I can change, you know, like the Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, I can change. But really, it's not us who changes ourselves. We say yes to the Lord, and He does a transformation on the inside of us. It is supernatural. Amen? Verse 4, for just as in one physical body we have many parts, and these parts do not all have the same function or special use, so we who are many are nevertheless just one body in Christ, and individually we are parts one of another, mutually dependent on each other. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to use them accordingly. If someone has the gift of prophecy, let him speak a new message from God to his people in proportion to the faith possessed. If service in the act of serving, or he who teaches in the act of teaching, or he who encourages in the act of encouragement, he who gives with generosity, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy in caring for others with cheerfulness. Love is to be sincere and active, the real thing, without guile and hypocrisy. Hate what is evil, detest all ungodliness, do not tolerate wickedness, hold on tightly to what is good. And I want to pause right there for a minute. You know, in every relationship, there are love, and you can call them duties or responsibilities. You know, when you're in a relationship with somebody, it can be superficial if that person, if you are constantly giving and giving and giving, and you're never receiving from that person. And that kind of superficial relationship is very unsatisfactory. You know, like, if every time, if we all came in here and all of us individually would just only talk about ourselves, we never said hi to each other, we never told each other or asked each other how we were doing, and it was just all about ourselves, and in it would be like, you would put up with it for a day, but if that continued, to be like, oh, I can't be around these people anymore, right? Because it's just not a real relationship. Now, there are times where, and I can relate as husband and wife between Michael and I, there are times when either one of us is going through a trial and a tribulation, and all we can do is just get through that, and it takes either him or me to support the other person. And that means at that moment, I'm not that giving of a person, or he's not that giving of a person. We're just trying to get through this trial. You know, and the thing is that we have to remember is those are only times of trial. It is not an entire relationship. A relationship is supposed to be based on love. It is a give and a take, but it's not just a take, it's a give and a receive. You know, if you have to receive love from someone, you have to give love to someone. And it's like that with all of our relationships, right? So renewal of the mind, it takes time. It's not just like, you know, like when you watch a plant grow, you know, it takes time for a plant to grow. Well, renewal of the mind, if you have thought a certain way for so long and you have had these thoughts in your mind for so long, whether they are good thoughts or bad thoughts, if you have good thoughts, you need to keep those thoughts going. But if you have bad thoughts, you may not even realize that they are bad thoughts. They might just be contrary to what the word says. You may not even realize that it's a bad thought. And it takes time to really take that out of your mind and choose to think a different way. It's just like when you go off course in your direction. If you take a little wrong turn and you take another little wrong turn, another little wrong turn, it takes a while to get back on that road that you were supposed to be on. You have to take another little turn to the right direction and another little turn to the right direction. And if you keep going the right direction, eventually you'll get to where God actually wanted you to be. And that is where you will find healing of so many things. You will find healing of relationships. You'll find healing of past hurts in your life. You'll find deliverance from whatever it is has held you back from the Lord for so long. Those are the things that take time. So don't feel like, well, I thought I was over this, and I thought I had changed my mind, and I thought I could think differently, and then something else pops up and you're the same. Just make an effort, slow down, and turn the right direction. Amen? Take a stop in your life and choose to think differently, right? It is through you know, like all of these different things that we go through, you know, that a lot of us are actually able to understand each other. When you go through things and I go through things, and sometimes it's similar and sometimes it's not, it actually builds in each one of us a sympathy for each other. That we realize, you know, they're probably going through the same thing I am. You know, it may look different, but maybe we're both wrestling with pride, or maybe we're both wrestling with being offended, or maybe we're both wrestling with unforgiveness, even though our situations may be different, right? We're all kind of going through the same thing sometimes, and so that's where we need each other. We need the body of Christ, right? And I am so thankful, as, not just as a pastor, but as a believer in the whole body. I need the body of believers. I need you in my life. I need each and every one of you. When you tell me what you're going through, and I hear what you're going through, it actually, you know, like, I could be like, oh, that's terrible. And it is terrible what you're going through, but I appreciate when you speak what you're going through. When you say, I am going through this, when you admit to me, I am going through this, it is hard. I don't know how I'm going to make it through that. That is a step in the right direction, because what it says is you are saying, I need help. I need help with this. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And then I can encourage you. And it is the same with me. You know, like sometimes I go through things that I never thought I could even go through. You know, like I think, you know, I am an adult. Like, you know, like I think I should be grown up out of this, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is embarrassing. Can't believe me even go through this, you know, but I have those moments too. I have those moments where I'm like, wow, I really need some help in this area. You know, there are things that each one of us, you know, we see things and we struggle with things differently at different times in our lives. And I'm just thankful. I'm thankful to the body believers. I'm thankful to the Lord, you know, that he puts us with each other. And I just want to encourage you, if you ever feel like you don't have someone to talk to, ask the Lord to bring that person in your life. Because in relationships and having someone to talk to about what you're going through actually helps you grow as a person in your spirit. It actually renews your spirit, because what happens is they are speaking through the Holy Spirit and you are speaking through the Holy Spirit. So when you're going through something, you're helping them and they're helping you. And so even if you're sharing the struggle that you're going through, you might actually be helping that person across from you. And even if you're getting healed, that other person might be getting healed. So remember to share your heart with people, but ask God for the right people to share your heart with. Amen? Okay, so verse 10, let's continue reading. Be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection as members of one family. Give preference to one another in honor. I thought it was so cool that Aunt Jessie mentioned that today, because in the Amplified, it actually says as members of one family. So it's not just like in the King James, it says one body. But in the Amplified, it says as members of one family. And that's where I just think it's so neat, because it really is a family. You know, like we care for each other. And when we need something, we call out to each other, not just physical needs, but spiritual needs. You know, like I may need help physically, like we all need dug out of our, you know, of our driveways and stuff. Thank God for the Kubota. But at the same time, I might need prayer for a struggle in my life. You might need prayer for a struggle in your life. So all of these things are important, and we handle it together as a family. And it's amazing, the body of Christ, we as a spiritual family, we're united by the blood of Christ. So yes, we have our body of believers, but if you go to any other church in the area or around the world and you talk to other believers, or you go to the store and you talk to a believer, or you go to work, it really is like they are family, and you need those people in your life. Amen? Yeah. So sincere love hates the sin, but not the sinner. Sincere love looks upon oneself and desires a change of heart for themselves. For example, how can I tell you to be honest, to love your neighbor, to seek God with all of your heart, if I don't sincerely want that myself? How can I preach to you what I don't believe?
Right?
I should hate what is evil in my heart, detesting all ungodliness in my life, not tolerating wickedness. I should want and fervently go after a true heart change in my life before I even begin to tell you to change your heart, right? These are things that I should do before I get up here and tell you, hey, you need to change your life. Because honestly, I am just like you in the fact that I need Jesus 100%. Like, there is no way that I could live my life without him. And I acknowledge that I need the Lord as my Savior. I acknowledge that I need him in every area of my life. And that helps me to encourage you that you need him as well. Amen. Okay, verse 11. Never lagging behind in diligence, aglow in the Spirit, enthusiastically serving the Lord, constantly rejoicing in hope because of our confidence in Christ, steadfast and patient in distress. And that's a hard one, I think, for a lot of people. Being steadfast when you are going through some of the most stressful points in your life. When it feels like basically all hell is breaking loose. And you're like, I just can't take another thing. And God says, be patient and be steadfast. That's a lot to ask when you're going through stressful times, right? But with God, all things are possible. Amen. Devoted to prayer, continually seeking wisdom, guidance, and strength. Contributing to the needs of God's people, pursuing the practice of hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, who cause you harm or hardship. And, you know, this is like, right, the first part is like it's talking to the body of believers to each other. But now it's talking to you in your life toward people in the world. Bless those who persecute you, verse 14. Who cause you harm or hardship. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, sharing others' joy, and weep with those who weep, sharing others' grief. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, conceited, self-important, exclusive, but associate with humble people, those with a realistic self-view. Do not overestimate yourself. That's kind of an amazing thing there. Do not overestimate yourself. Never repay anyone evil for evil. Take thought for what is right and gracious and proper in the sight of everyone. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave the way open for God's wrath and his judicial righteousness. For it is written in Scripture, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. So God will take care of those who do you wrong. Amen. Don't feel like, you know, you have to have vengeance on people. You have to revenge what was done to you. Don't feel like that. And another scripture out of Proverbs, verse 20 says, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome and conquered by evil, but overcome evil with good. And all of these things come about when you are renewed by the Word of God. When your thinking is changed by the Word of God, you react differently to situations. We are to be different from those in the world. Amen. How we live, how we talk, how we react, how we behave as people, we are to be different. Amen. I want you to turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, I'm going to start at verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. And basically, this just means remember to be obedient to those in authority. You know, it doesn't mean that they replace God in your life, but it does mean that you should be submissive to those in authority. Amen? And if they are wrong, if they are doing wrong, it is our responsibility as Christians to pray for those in authority, pray that they should, that they make the right decisions, that they do what God tells them to do. Amen? Sometimes we don't realize what responsibility it is for people over others.
Yeah.
You know? Verse 2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Don't you appreciate that kindness, that mercy? Verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So this verse 5, it says, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So it is that we did not do this on our own. There are no works of righteousness that we could ever do, no, not any good enough thing in our lives that we could do to basically make it into heaven, right? We could, but the amazing thing is, you know, God sent the law because he wanted us to know that this is wrong, that these things are wrong. This is what sin is and this is what sin isn't. And we realized as a people, the Israelites, all people in general, realized they can never be good enough and we need someone. And, you know, I've read different things and, you know, the Israelites, they knew that they had a Savior coming. And there are other religions that always, they like wanted a God in their lives. And they always felt like there was a God who maybe could save them, but that they had to do something themselves. And so all other religions are all about a person feeling like they had to do something to please a God. And God, the true, almighty, powerful Elohim, the creator of the universe, isn't like that. And so when he sent his son to die for us, it's incredible because we think that we have to do something. All we have to do is say yes. All we have to do is receive him in our lives. And it's, to me, it's just amazing because it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Only by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can try to change ourselves. We can try to live right. And we may get so far with people and with relationships. But a true change by the Holy Spirit can fix any relationship and change any person.
Amen.
That is the power of God. Have you ever looked through a microscope at a group of cells? And it's amazing. Like when they grow, it just looks like, because you're seeing it at the level of a cell, it just looks like incredible mass amounts of growth. But then you look away from the microscope and you don't see anything. It's like, is there really something going on? Well, in our spirits, it's like that with our physical bodies and with our souls. In our spirits, there is amazing, powerful growth that is going on. And you don't always see it. And it's amazing because you're constantly growing and constantly getting rejuvenated by the Word of God. And you don't see it on the outside, but on the inside, it is actually transforming your soul. And it is actually bringing life to your body. So the Spirit pours out into the soul, into the body, and there's constantly life that's flowing. But if we are not letting our spirits receive what the Lord is saying, if we are denying our spirits spiritual food and spiritual drink, if we're not reading the Bible, and, you know, it says we're renewed by the Holy Spirit. So if we're not having a relationship with the Lord, then what's happening is our spirit is almost like getting held back. It's like we're holding our spirit back, and then all of that growth that could be affecting our souls and our bodies, it isn't happening as much because we're choosing to hold it back. It's like, you know, when somebody has, when they're fighting a sickness or disease, your immune system is taking care of that, right? But if you have an autoimmune disease, or you have a disease where your immune system cannot fight something, then what happens is your body does whatever it can, but it really can't fight it as well. And quite often, people with long-term, I believe it's called autoimmune diseases, they just don't live long. You know, like people who have AIDS or HIV, and their bodies are compromised. And so in your spirit life, you have to remember that your spirit is the one, it is through your spirit that you live life. And you can't just block off your spirit and expect everything in your life to go correctly. You can't just ignore your spirit and think, I can change on my own, or I can change these people in my life. No, it is through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is supernatural what the Lord does inside of you and what he does with people around you. And you need that in your life. So don't shut off that communication to your Holy Spirit, to your spirit, from the Holy Spirit. Don't let the world pull you away from what the Lord is doing on the inside of you. Amen. Take that time. You know, it's just like that course correction. You know, I haven't really been in the Bible lately, so I really need to get back into reading the Word. Or I haven't really been praying to the Lord, and I haven't really been talking to him about what's going on in my life, or I haven't been praying for other people. You know, just take that into consideration to make that a course correction. Or, man, I have been thinking these thoughts, and these are not good thoughts, and I need help with them, Lord. And so you take every thought captive, and you command it to come under the subjection of Jesus Christ. That takes effort. That takes time. Make sure that you take that time, because you need your spirit to function in life. You need your spirit to bring changes in your souls and in your bodies. Amen. Okay, so very last thing, I want you to turn to John chapter 3. And I'm going to start at verse 1. John chapter 3, verse 1. And I just want to encourage you, you know, if you ever feel like you want to hear what God is saying to you, and if you have a red letter Bible, just read the red letters. Just read what Jesus is saying to you. And I'm telling you, sometimes that's all you need to hear. Everything else can be going on, but you hear what Jesus is saying, and it is transforming. Amen. It's part of that renewing. Okay, so John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So, just like I said, you cannot see what is going on, but you know that it is there. You know you are filled with the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And this is the verse that everyone hopefully has memorized. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That one verse sums up the whole Bible. That one verse. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And so just keep in mind that evil is darkness, and it does not like light. When there are things in our hearts that are dark, and the light of God shines in, it makes us very uncomfortable. It makes us, you know, when God shows that, hey, you're wrestling with this, we do not like to see those things. We don't want to hear those things. When we know that we're wrong about a situation, sometimes it can be hard to hear that we're wrong, right? Yes. But it is in that light that we get renewed. We are made new when we receive Jesus. But we need that light to continually shine on our hearts, so that when darkness creeps in, when thoughts or actions in our lives, maybe we've sinned and we don't know what to do, we repent. We draw to the light instead of draw away from the light. We push that darkness out through the renewing of our minds, through the renewing of the Holy Spirit, and we are transformed daily. We are made into who he wants us to be by renewing our minds on the word, by listening to his Holy Spirit, by praying, by reading his word. You know, it's easy to get out of the habit of not reading the Bible. You know, it's easy to be like, well, I can do it tomorrow, or I'll read it later. You know, I love having the word of God on my phone, because I always take my phone everywhere, you know, so at any point, you know, if I'm sitting somewhere or waiting for something, I'll just pull up the word and I know. Or if God brings a verse to my remembrance, I make a point and I write that down on my phone. And because maybe God is speaking something to me and I need to take the time to hear it. Yeah. You know, so I may hear a verse, but I don't get the full revelation of it until later. But if I ignore that, and I keep ignoring it, because I've done that several times in my life, God will speak to me something, and I'll hear it, and I'll just let it go. I'll get busy with other things. And then he'll speak to me again, and I'll hear it, and I'll let it go. And then later on, months later, God will bring it back to me, and he'll be like, are you going to receive it this time? And God, in his grace and mercy, man, it's amazing what he does for us. You know, when if your heart's not ready, he's going to keep pushing you, and he's going to keep coming to you until your heart is ready. He knows that there are times in your life when you need some watering and you need to be fed spiritually, and he's going to keep doing that, and he's going to keep doing that because he knows when it is time in your life to produce that fruit that you need. You know, like if you're wrestling with not being able to love others, you know, that takes time to let that fruit grow in your life, to let that love grow. And so this is kind of an opening to a long thing that I'm going to do this year. And I don't know if I really want to consider it a series because it might take the whole year. So I'm not going to just do that. But what I want to do is I want to go through and renew our minds in the Word through this year. And which is what we do all the time. But specifically, I want to point out the fruits of the Spirit and how they each, we need the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, how to get that fruit to grow. Because each fruit of the Spirit has something that doesn't help it grow. So love, you need love in your life. But if you have hate in your heart, if you have unforgiveness, if you have envy, then that love can't grow, right? And so that's what I'm going to share on is, you know, not just the fruit of the Spirit, but what do you have to overcome to let those things produce fruit in your life? You know, maybe you're wrestling with something that I'm not wrestling with, or maybe I'm wrestling with something that you're not wrestling with. Or maybe there's a time in your life that you may hear this word now, and it doesn't seem like it's doing much for you right now. But in 5-10 years, that Holy Spirit will bring that word back to your remembrance, and you'll be like, oh, that's what you were telling me. And it was for this time in my life. You know, so I just want to encourage you. You know, I remember many times people preach in our lives, and pastor would preach, or anyone else that was here would preach. And at the time, you know, you're just listening to a sermon. But then as you get older, or you're going through different trials in your life, those words will come back and you'll be like, wow, I needed that. You know, now I understand what they're talking about. And so that's what I want to go through this year is just, I feel like it's just a renewing of our minds. Because as our minds are renewed, we're transformed. And it's in that transformation that we experience the freedom of Christ. And each and every one of us, just like that song says, there's freedom. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That is totally necessary for you to grow in the Lord. And it's that freedom that actually, when you're set free, others around you get set free. And that's what we need in our lives. You know, like, we can't just live our lives like, oh, I just want to be happy. You know, I just want to be happy. You Lord, just make me happy. I don't want to go through anything. We are all going to go through things. But when we're transformed by the Word of God and we do go through those things, we have a special ability, a supernatural ability to come out of those things stronger instead of letting those things destroy our lives, right? So that's what I want to just focus on this year. Yes, that's it. If any of you need prayer, always ask us for prayer. And I just want to encourage, you know, not just ask us, but remember finding a friend in your life that you can open up to. Remember to ask them, you know, will you pray for me? Yeah. Usually we just automatically, most of us, we just pray for each other. But sometimes you need to just open up and say, I really need prayer for this. This is my struggle in my life, and I really need prayer. Amen. So I just want to encourage you, don't let the devil hold you back and be like, oh, don't ask for prayer. They know to pray for you. Or don't ask for prayer because, you know, that's embarrassing. You know, the devil will do whatever, he will tell you whatever lie he can. And when when someone asks you for prayer, you know, open up your heart and be careful how you react to them. You know, don't just say that you're always praying for that person or yeah, I'll pray for you. Maybe they need prayer right at the moment, you know, or maybe God is showing you, giving you a word for them that they need to hear. You know, whatever it is, be listening to the Holy Spirit. Maybe their hearts aren't open to hear a word from the Lord. Maybe they truly do just need you to say, yes, I will pray for you. So whatever it is, just let the Holy Spirit do that and let him work in your life and let you be a minister to others. Amen? All right, you can go ahead and stand and we will pray and dismiss. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we do thank you for your Holy Spirit. Right now, in Jesus' name, each and every person here, whatever you are struggling with, in Jesus' name, I just pray for freedom in your life. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would touch the hearts of each and every one of us here, Lord. In Jesus' name, all of the pain, all of the hurt, all of the things that we are going through, Lord, in Jesus' name, the decisions that need to be made, Lord, we just thank you that you are helping us through that. God, those who are sick in body, we just ask you would heal them by your stripes. God, we thank you that you are our healer. We thank you that you are renewing our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And God, we ask you to bless our time together next door. Lord, bless the food, bless the fellowship. Holy Spirit, speak through each one of us. Lord, how to minister to each other, how to make the friendships and the bonds and the closest that we need so that we can truly be a help to each other. We thank you for this body of believers. Lord, bless them this week. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.